Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
Indeed it is, Mr. Yorkshire, Radio Yorkshire voiceover man. Welcome to Sport on Sunday for this, oh no, rubbish, Sunday. Look at the weather. It's raining. So don't go out. Don't go anywhere. Don't watch the football. Listen to Radio Yorkshire instead, because it's going to be good. Honest. My name's Richard Shroyd, here until 6 o'clock this evening, unless you listen to the podcast, and then it's whatever time you feel. Here's the Sunday morning's back pages, and they're dominated by the future of evil Brazilian stroke Spanish striker Diego Costa. The Chelsea striker was dropped for their 3-0 Premier League win at Leicester yesterday. Who needs Diego Costa when they've got Marcus Alonso? The club claimed he had a back injury, but it's understood that he's become unsettled over a big money bid from China. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, it's our favourite theme at the moment on this programme. Chinese football ruins everything, which of course is not true, but that's what they're trying to tell us. So Diego Costa, he's upset everyone by perhaps going to China, which, you know, he hasn't yet. Sunday Mirror says, "You can rot Costa." A sign the paper claims the club's willing to leave him on the sidelines for the rest of the transfer window. The Sun on Sunday says Costa hates it in English football. He's desperate to leave. Well, it isn't the best league in the world anymore, is it? And the Sunday Express says he won't be sold. So there you go. Meanwhile, the Mail on Sunday suggests the forward Stamford Bridge teammates are pleading with him not to move. Don't go, they're saying. In Spanish or Portuguese. The Observer asks, who needs Costa after yesterday's win? Probably Chelsea. I've got them at 6-1 to win the title. I'd prefer he was there. While the Telegraph goes with Diego who? Costa. Meanwhile, another want-away star, Dimitri Payet, takes up some column inches with the Sunday People, saying West Ham are willing to sell the midfielder. Well, it's not like they need the money after getting the, you know, stadium on the cheap. The Sunday Times says Marseille hope to complete a deal for their former player this week. And that's all the back pages. There's nothing else going on in the wide, wide world of sport. Just people wanting to leave the Premier League. But I thought it was the best thing in the world. I thought it was the best.
Sport, music and roast beef.
Well, the first two will sort.
Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
I read some quotes earlier this week from the FA chairman Greg Clark in the Times about gay footballers, which seems to be a topic that the football can't get its head around for some reason. It's 2017, everybody. I think Stonewall, the charity, had that slogan a few years ago, people are gay, get over it. I'm wearing a Deportivo Guadalajara shirt today, which has a rainbow in the middle of it to support anti-homophobic abuse in football. But Greg Clark, the FA chairman, told The Times this week, if a number of top-level pros want to come out, why don't we synchronise it? The Premier League, the English Football League and the FA could do it at the start of the season. At the start, everyone thinks it's their season, the crowds are happy, the sun is shining. I was asked if football is ready for top-level pros to come out, and I'm not sure that we were. There was a survey, which this is the one the BBC did, which said people would support gay people in their own team, but I'm worried about what they would say about gay people in the other team. This BBC survey, you remember, in October, found that 8% of fans would stop watching their team if they signed a gay player. Well, those 8% of people are utter morons. There's no place, not just in football or sport, but in society, for abuse of any kind, whether it's homophobia, sexism, racism or whatever. Come on, it's 2017, everybody, wake up. You don't want to go watch your football team because they've got a gay person playing for them. Then you are an utter, utter cretinous moron. There's no place for any kind of abuse of that kind in society, let alone sport. But why are the FA? Why do we have to have a synchronised event? So it sounds like something on TV. It's an ITV special. Well, coming up tonight on ITV from 7, we're going to reveal who's gay in football. Does it matter? Why are they so obsessed with having people come out as gay in football? It doesn't matter. Keegan Hurst came out in rugby league. Everyone went, huh? Cricketer Stephen Davis, everyone just went, huh? Why is it such an obsessed topic for football that we have to have some kind of event where people decide, look at me, I'm a gay footballer. It's like they want to parade them, like some kind of circus act. Football, just get over it. It doesn't matter. Those 8% of people, man, they should be banned from watching football. You can't get over that, can you? The BBC did this survey in October, and you think, hang on, people actually would not watch their team because they signed a gay footballer. What a bunch of idiots. These are the same people who would watch a team that was owned by, I don't know, some despotic dictator just in case they won the Premier League. Basically, what we've learned is some people are idiots, but most people are okay. But football, just get over yourselves.
Sport on Sunday on Radio Yorkshire.
It's finished in the Premier League. Everton 4, Manchester City 0. Luckman, the young lad who just signed from Charlton, I think it was Charlton, came on and scored with the last kick of the game. Pep Guardiola not happy. Ronald Koeman slightly happier after that one. So now to come in this big Merseyside versus Manchester doubleheader. It's the reverse fixture from Red Monday. Yes, it's Manchester United versus Liverpool. I might just put the darts on or something. Right, it's time on Sport on Sunday. Extra time for this. It's a Sporting Triangle, the weekly quiz in which you have to name three things that have some kind of answer to a question or loose connection. And this week, with the sad passing of Graham Taylor, I was reminded that I had Graham Taylor's soccer challenge on the Commodore Amiga back in the 90s, which wasn't a bad game, I seem to remember. But I want you to name... I know they always end up being computer game related. Oh, you come and do your own quiz then. I want you to name three computer games endorsed by England managers. Now, I've got three, although one's very obscure. We'll open this up to games endorsed by football managers if you want. At Radio _ Yorkshire. I've found some great ones earlier of pictures to share with you. But go on, football games endorsed by football managers.
Sport on Sunday with Richard Shaw Wright on Radio Yorkshire.
At Radio _ Yorkshire, don't forget we're doing that poll. Which of the three Yorkshire sides at the top end of the championship will get promotion to the Premier League, if any. Sheffield Wednesday still running away with things. 64%. It's a landslide, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we're all very sad this week with the news of the death of Graham Taylor, the former England football manager, dying at the age of 72, which, you know, in these day and ages, no age and all that, as everyone else has said, with all the tributes and great stories about the man. Plenty of stories about his generosity with fans have come out over the past few days. And you've seen articles written saying hopefully his legacy now, he's remembered for the great times he had at Watford, taking them from nothing to, you know, a leading club for a while, and then they're back in the Premier League now, of course, and getting Villa promoted in the late 80s to get back into the top flight, which, you know, they're trying to get back into now, I guess. And, of course, he's a spell as England manager, which didn't go too well. Although, when you look at the squad he had, or the players he had available to him, and players who were injured at the time, I think apart from the why didn't he pick Chris Waddle thing, you look at the squad and you think, well, looking back in hindsight, could he have done much better? Yeah, probably not. And I was watching, which I'm sure many of you have, An Impossible Job, that great documentary, probably the greatest sports documentary that's ever been made, certainly in football, just because of the access that he gave to the England setup at the time. And Ronald Koeman, who everyone's, you know, oh, Ronald Koeman, great result today, Everton, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he should have been sent off in that game against the Dutch. I remember sitting there at home watching it on the telly, being as angry, not quite as angry as Graham Taylor, because my mum was in the room once wearing. But, you know, times move on. And, of course, he went back into football with Wolves, club football with Wolves, and back to Watford and Aston Villa before retiring. Fine, fine pundit. Very, very good. One of the best in terms of his analysis of a football match on the radio and TV. You think of people like him and Jimmy Armfield, really great experts in explaining to people at home why things are happening the way they are, because they've been there and done that and they can explain it really well. This is the problem sometimes with ex-players who go into punditry who are not former coaches or managers. They don't necessarily have that experience they can draw upon, but very sad. Very good to see all the positive things said about Graham Taylor in the past few days and the tributes paid at football grounds up and down the country over the last few days as well. But you just go back and remember how shabbily he was treated by some sections of the press. Not all, of course, because there's some very fine football writers out there, but you know, the way he was treated as England manager, and I know, we can look back in hindsight and say, it wasn't a great job for him, but the abuse he got from some of the way reports were written, and I know the football writers themselves don't stick people's heads on turnips, but same people who were slagging him off at the time now, coming out with all their plaudits and this and the other. And if you ever go back and watch another great documentary, One Night in Turin, about the England campaign at Italia 90, the build-up to, you'll see in the build-up to the tournament when Bobby Robson announces he's leaving the job, the way some of the press turn on him. And again, when he passed away, they were all quick to fawn over him, weren't they? But, people are hypocrites, aren't they, at times? And so on and so forth. But Graham Taylor, he will be missed, especially from his punditry in recent years. And I'm sure there'll be more stories come out about him in the next few days. And if you've not watched An Impossible Job, go out and watch it. It's well worth an hour or so of your time.
Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
It's still Manchester United 0, Liverpool 1. Liverpool in their highlighter luminous yellow away kit today. Judging by everything that Man United have got an official partner of, I wonder if they've got an official highlighter pen. They probably have. Right, it's time to do this. Yeah, so on Sporting Triangle this week, we're asking, in the lights of the Graham Taylor Soccer Challenge Amiga game, can you name other games endorsed by England football managers? You could have had Sven-Goran Eriksson's World Manager and World Challenge. You could have had Kevin Keegan's Player Manager on the Super Nintendo. And for 700 bonus points, you could have had Glenn Hoddle's Soccer on the Amstrad. Glenn Hoddle's Soccer, of course. Well, they spelt his name wrong. Honourable mentions to non-England managers, but football managers in general. Brian Clough's Football Fortunes. That was a board game you played on your computer, which, with an actual board. It's a bit rubbish. And, of course, David O'Leary Manager 2000 on the Game Boy Color. And you also got even more bonus points if you mentioned Terry Venable's board game called The Manager, which also was a thing. Well done to you if you got any of those right.
Sport, music and roast beef.
Well, the first two will sort.
Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
So right, now it's time for another brand new feature here on Sport on Sunday Extra Time. As we're coming towards the end of this run, we're just throwing enough stuff against the wall and seeing what works. And it's time for Charity Shop Book Club. Basically what I've done, been to the charity shop, haven't I? See if I can find anything decent to sell on eBay. And I bought some books. So today we're looking at Emlyn Hughes's Crazy Horse, which he wrote in 1980 when he was coming towards the end of his playing career. He's just all Wolves. And of course we're going to be player manager at Rotherham United. Had a short spell at Hull as well. But this is one of those, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Of course, Emlyn writes, at the moment in present-day football, there are young professionals whose attitude isn't quite right. They are the ones who seem to feel that football owes them a living. They are the ones I'm sure Don Revie was talking about when he made one of his more heartening statements. He was talking to his Leeds players in their very early days when he said, you should go down on your knees every night before you go to bed and say thank you for being allowed to be a member of such a privileged profession. Revie was from humble origins on Teesside, and he never forgot that. I'm not sure the game is any worse these days, but I'm certain referees are under greater pressure than ever before. A few years ago, a wrong decision leading to a lost point or even two might cost a player £30 in bonuses. All right, some things change. Now that figure has risen to be as much as £200. The poor old referee has only to make a mistake and everyone is ready to knife him. By far the most sinister pressure comes from the slow motion replays on television. If he makes a mistake, it's replayed over and over again. And of course, we can all reach the right verdict with the hindsight of a replay. So there you go, nothing's changed in football since 1980. But of course, Emlyn Hughes, after being a footballer, while being a footballer, was then more famous for his career as a captain on the legendary TV programme Question of Sport, and he talks about this here. He first went on it as a guest when Cliff Morgan and Henry Cooper were the captains. It was then I realised what a bundle of laughs the programme could be. Amazingly, Henry, who was one of the greatest and most popular boxers this country has ever produced, had an uncanny knack of failing whatever the question centred around his own sport. There was one classic occasion when two heavyweights in a championship fight were briefly shown on film. Henry identified the winner of the fight, for one of them was truly poleaxed. Great word. He was rubbing his chin, thinking deeply, "I should know him," he kept saying in that familiar Cockney accent. As it happened, I recognised them as Ernie Terrell and Zora Foley. A glorious punch from Terrell ended it. Henry was puzzling away, and suddenly, with the assistance of my team captain Cliff, I set up Britain's greatest heavyweight for a fall. "I should know him," Henry was saying, and I turned to Cliff and said with my hand over my mouth, but just loud enough so that Henry would hear, "It's Foley." Cliff carried on the charade with a loud hush. Suddenly, Henry dived in. "I know, it's Zora Foley." You like the impressions here. "Wrong," said Question Master David Vine. We chipped in with Ernie Terrell for the bonus point and fell about laughing. Perhaps we have brought more of a laugh to the proceedings. This is after he's taken over as captain along with Gareth Edwards. It has moved from being a fairly serious quiz to an all-round entertainment. Although sometimes our guests have given us bigger laughs than we ever anticipated. Tony Curry, that incredibly gifted midfield player, provided one outrageous moment. He was asked to identify an occasion. We peered into the small monitor and he was asked to name the teams taking part in a football match. One team were in green, the other in blue. It was a huge Continental Stadium. Continental with a capital C. And I recognised Bertie Vogts, Gert Müller, and one or two of the other West Germans in their change strip of green. From England's tour of Eastern Europe in 1974, I recognised several German players in blue. East German players. Recognised with a Z. It was obvious that this was the classic historical confrontation between the two Germanys at the 1974 World Cup. I looked at Tony, he said, "Got it, no problem. Go on then," I said. He said slowly, "It's Norwich City versus Ipswich Town. More falling about by the rest of us." See, it was much better in those days, Question of Sport. It's rubbish these days. So that's extracts from Emlyn Hughes, Crazy Horse, which I bought for 25 pence at my local charity shop. That's this week's book on a charity shop, Sports Book Club. It's available now on a certain book retailer's website for a penny. So I feel I've been ripped off. Although it has got one review on this website by a guy called Jim, who was put, "Not what I expected." And asked Jim, "What did you expect when you bought the autobiography of the former Liverpool and England captain, Emlyn Hughes?" There are some thick people out there.
Sport, music and roast beef. Well, the first two will sort. Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
Right, it's time for the highlights of the week as we find out once again who is Yorkshire's best football team in the ultimately flawed Sport on Sunday top of the form. So, mixed bag of results yesterday and Friday for Yorkshire sides. Obviously, a good day for Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday and Doncaster Rovers, Hull City as well, and Rotherham United. Not so good, though, for the likes of Bradford City and Sheffield United, especially not the Blades, who have been knocked off their perch at the top of the Sport on Sunday top of the form table by Doncaster Rovers, who now lead by 0.08. Yeah, they're on 7.08, Sheffield United 7, then Leeds are on 5.96, Halifax Town 5.92. Now, this is again where Huddersfield Town fans, I think we're going to be picking on you with this. We're not. It's just the system's flawed. Because Sheffield Wednesday, despite being below them in the table, are above them. The problem Huddersfield Town have, right, you don't score enough goals, you can see too many. That's why you're below teams you're above in the actual league table. Bottom, Rotherham United, although they have improved by winning yesterday. They're on 0.73. Hull are on 1.1. North Ferriby 1.48. Bradford Park Avenue 1.5. York City 1.61. And Guiseley on 2.21. So it's all to play for still in the Sport on Sunday top of the form table. Of course, the FA Cup's coming up in a few weeks, which makes it even more pointless. But there you go. So congratulations this week to Doncaster Rovers. You are currently the best team in Yorkshire. Well, we say so anyway.
Sport on Sunday with Richard Shaw Wright on Radio Yorkshire.